What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands Podcast, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiseled and is now only on the Chairshot Media Group. RIP Smart to Death. I am Mags, and with me, as always, my podcast wife, Mr. Paul Tolley. Paul, how are you this fine day?
Feeling good, feeling positive. How about you?
That's what a segue. What an absolute segue. I'm doing really well. A bit disappointed actually over one thing. I thought my copy of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 was going to get delivered today, but it was just a charger. So Hermes can go and suck a fat one.
You don't have it yet. I'm in a similar boat. I'm waiting for my my first ever piece of Shota Umino merch. He's got a t-shirt out. I've ordered it. I got told days ago it was coming, and I still don't have it. I was hoping to model it for you guys tonight.
Oh, you'll be able to model it next week if it turns up. It might still be printing it.
Maybe. Maybe they didn't think anyone would possibly buy it.
I just put an image out.
I appreciate that you've worn a mankini tonight, though.
You might as well chip in.
Yeah. And I appreciate you've worn a mankini tonight, though, Tolly, instead of the T-shirt.
I thought I'd make an effort for you, pal.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice. I didn't realise how much chest hair you had.
he's shaved using Manscaped for you, which you can get your lawnmower 3.0 using the cord foul, which I don't even know if it's actual cord. But even though he's just interrupted without even being introduced, let's introduce our very special guest. It's the absolute meme legend, all memes, no dreams, Mr. Foul Original. Foul, how are you?
I'm very well. Sorry, I had to interrupt because, like, I didn't realise how much, Tolly is become my muse for memes. Like, you have to understand, if you listen to this show, like, obviously, you know Tolly. You all know Tolly. Like, and on wrestling Twitter, he's very wholesome, nice guy, all the time. And everybody likes to pick on him. I like to do it in a creative way.
That is very true.
Yours is the most insidious way because you
it's
pretend
canvas.
You're being nice and including me in your art. But
you are my muse, Tolly. You're literally my muse. Like, I don't even understand. The other day, like, one of my particular memes came from, like, Five Nerds Go. They were mentioning, like, a really old British TV show, which is, like, the Really Wild Show. And I was like, I can put his face on Terry Nutkins. And then I couldn't. And then I thought, well, I can do it on this other guy. And then, it looked really, really weird. But it's fun. And then I put him on a cover for the PWI 500. And I was very impressed with that. I think he looked great. Like, if anything, your art, you being in my art, has increased it at least 5%.
Remember me when it comes to commission.
Of course, man. Of course, you're going to get all the credit for all of these. Like, don't you worry about that. But
especially the bad credit.
Exactly, all the bad credit. You are going to get all the PPIs. But but no, thank you so much for having me on. I'm Foul Original at Foul underscore Original on the Twitter, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, memeing all the time. And I'm so happy to be welcomed onto Badlands again. It's have such a fun time every time I'm on here. And it's great to catch up with Mags and Tolly. And especially Tolly, because Mags is always on Twitter, but Tolly isn't until I put out like a picture with his face on it.
He's selective with his social media interaction, is Paul.
I'm only interested in my own face.
Aren't we all?
not enough people tweet my face. Bodies. No, I shouldn't say that because that's going to get people.
you could become the British David LaGreca.
Is that a good thing?
Got a good face.
He's got a very cherubic face, as Paul.
Mm. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So, I deliberately kept the opening topic away from you guys. Normally, when we have a guest on, they give us their Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers, but obviously Fowler has been on the show before, so we change it up for reoccurring guests, and normally we'll let them know what the topic's going to be. But I wanted to keep it a little bit of a secret because we've got kind of a very tenuous link between the three of us. I do posts every now and again of the food that I've made. Fowler's done that as well, and Paul has eaten some very horrific things, so we have got a link about food. So what I wanted to get is a Mount Rushmore from each of us of what we would order if we went for a meal out, or like a pub lunch or a romantic date, things like that. So how does that sound to you guys?
It's making me hungry.
I know. I'm ready for it. Let me go turn the lights down. Let me use my dimmer switch.
Well, to give you guys a bit of inspiration and a little bit of time to come up with yours, I'll fire mine off first. So my first pick would obviously be, being a carnivore, it would be a steak, cooked blue, with probably some sweet potato chips in a lovely peppercorn sauce, I think. So yeah, I'd go with a blue steak. Then keep going with for the steak. What
cut are you going for?
Ribeye. Yeah, all yep. day. If ribeye is on the menu, that's the only cut. Then keeping with the steak theme, I'm going to go with the classic pub lunch steak and ale pie. I like mine with mashed potato.
So you're having steak and ale pie?
I'm not ordering all at once. This is four different times I'm going.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. This ain't Carvery. Well, this ain't Harvester.
You say Carvery. That's actually my third pick. I absolutely love a good Carvery. And I make sure I get one of all the meats available. So Carvery is my third pick. And then my fourth pick, it's the classic. It's a curry. I like to go for the hottest curry available. So perhaps it'd be a vindaloo or Madras, but yep, chicken curry. So my four would be a blue steak and ale pie, a decent carvery, and then a hot chicken curry.
Nice choice. Nice.
Thank you very much. So
does it have to be mains?
If you want to mix it up, Mr. Toller, you can mix it up. You can order a four-course meal if you like.
Oh, very interesting.
Val, would you like to go next with your four picks of restaurant meals that you would order?
Yeah, so it's a very, very nice one. So I'm a classy, sophisticated kind of guy, as you all know. So
classy chick.
Yeah, I'm a classy chick, I am.
So, you don't put out on the first date.
I don't, unless they take me to, like, Pizza Hut buffet, and then, you know, that's in the afternoon. That's serious stuff, that is. But Pizza Hut, so number one, obviously, as you all know, I love my pizzas. So first meal would be an actual Pizza Hut buffet, because the best thing about a Pizza Hut buffet is the unlimited pizza, number one. And they've got a good salad bar. And all the pizza turns up hot. And the really cool thing is that you can mess with other people sometimes when you go up to the pizza by telling them that black actually means meat, but sometimes it means vegetable, you know, like on the little like pizza slice thing. It's confusing. It's kind of like a bit of a gamble. Like sometimes they don't know if it's meat or veg when they bring the pizza out. Good thing I can eat both of them.
Mystery pizza.
So yeah, that's another good thing about the buffet as well. Sometimes you just rock up and you don't even know what's on the pizza. You just go with the eyes closed. You might knock a few kids over. Yeah, but that's just part of the game. And, you know, everyone loves hot cheese. So that's first.
Can I quickly interject there?
Of course.
So if you're at Pizza Hut, what flavor are you putting in your cola?
Okay. So I like this one, yeah. So I've always been, yeah, a Sir Mix-a-Lot, yeah. I like big cups and I cannot lie. So I like, I'll constantly go, and this is my mix. So you go to the post-mix machine, and you go half Coke or cola, whatever they've got, yeah. It's Pizza Hut, so we know that they've got Coke, so it's fine. So you go up, you get your Coke. That's half of the cup. Then quarter and quarter Sprite and Fanta. And a little bit of Coke on the top. I know it's because it's almost like having a hint of fruit in a Coke.
That's too much fruit. What, you got lemon, lime, and orange all in there. And whatever's in Coke. I don't even know what Coke is.
It's the most delicious thing that you can have. Just sometimes.
Vegetables, isn't it?
It depends who you buy it off.
Is it not the the same plant where they get cocaine from? I think it is.
I don't know. I thought that was a myth.
No, I think it's some kind of thing they use in like the industrial industry. I've heard of Coke all the time with its smelting factory.
Yeah, tar. It's just tar.
I thought that's what they call the black stuff I heard in the original days. But so that's the first one is the pizza buffet, and then the second one would be a teppanyaki. So I would like to go to somewhere
banging shout.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, nice teppanyaki. You turn up. I especially like the ones where you can cook it yourself. Like we used to have one in Birmingham where you could go up and they just bring all the stuff up to you, and you have like a hot plate on your table, and then you cook it yourself. Like that is like the best. And plus, you get to show off your cooking skills to anyone that's at the table, or your lack thereof. Or if you get too drunk, sometimes you put your hand on there every now and then, and it wakes you up. So it's good. So if you're drinking a lot of sake and you want to wake up, put your hand on a hot plate. so that would be my second one, is a teppanyaki. And I'd probably go for something like a beef black bean with egg noodles. And I would like some prawn crackers on the side as well. And I would drink at least 2 servings of sake, hot sake. There's a really nice place here in Birmingham that actually does it. And I went and had a Japanese meal not that long ago. And let's just say it's a lot more alcoholic than you give it credit for.
That's a fine choice. There's a cracking teppanyaki place in Manchester. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's so it's a great pick. What's third?
Third, I would actually also go for a carvery, because there's a place here, and you guys might have it as well, like, I can't remember what it's called. It's like a big buffet place in the city center, and you can go there and basically like have whatever you want. And they have a really good carvery, but unless you go to like a really classy, nice pub, like a nice Sunday carvery, you cannot beat going and getting like the full works. Like And also, especially for someone like me who likes to cook but doesn't like to have to do all of that stuff on a Sunday, it's the perfect cheat meal as well. And just like you, Mags, one of every animal, please. Like, I go straight up and I'm like, you give me one of all of these, I'm going to be having mashed potato, any variant of potato they can give me. So mashed, I'm going to get some baked, I'm going to get loads of veg, I'm going to get a hell of a lot of gravy. I'm going to like walk away with a tray full of Yorkshire puddings, and I am going to be just hankering for some apple crumble at the end of that, because that's all part of the carb.
Oh, crumble and custard, speaking mate. My language there, pal. You are speaking my language. If you go to a carvery place where they limit you to one meat, which is your go-to meat?
I have to go for... normally, they're really, really good on the roast pork, so I normally go for that. Like, beef is... like, I normally look at, like, how it all looks, but if it looks like the pork's been out for ages, I'll go for the beef. If not, it's got to be a nice, like, bit of pork, because that will take me on to number four, which is my fourth meal, which is a classic pub meal, which is gammon egg and chips. Nothing can beat a little bit of gammon egg and chips. I'm trying to bring the British back here to this bake-off, and I truly am. Like, I feel like there's too many Americans in the podcast space, and we need to start taking back some of the Britishness. And gammon eggs and chips, yes, with beans on the plate as well, I would happily eat that any day of the week with a nice classy stout on the side.
Would you not switch the egg for pineapple?
Ooh, like, you know what? Yeah, I've tried that combo, but I'm not the, like, it's really nice taste combo. Like, people don't understand, like, they work together so well. But I don't know, like, the pint, like, sometimes it feels like they have just got it out of a can. Like,
yeah.
If I want pineapple, I want someone to have potentially almost cut themselves to give me that pineapple. Like, that's what I want.
You want it dripping with blood, not a Del Monte sticker.
Exactly. I want a blood pineapple, not a blood orange. Like, that's what I want.
Well, Paul, now we've given you some thinking time and a few decent options there. Now, no stock cubes are off the table. You've got to go with something that you can actually order off a menu.
Well, I'm sure they would serve it to me if I paid the right price.
And never darken their establishment again.
It's not really filling, though. It's just like a little amuse-bouche. Well, I don't want to be left out of you two at the carvery. I want to be at the carvery as well.
Yeah.
But I want mine served in a Yorkshire pudding.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's classic.
What, you mean you want the
very classic.
To be a Yorkshire pudding?
Big, massive Yorkshire pudding, size of the plate, and just the work, the carvery works. My go-to's beef, as long as you've got a bit of colour. Usually doesn't have a bit of colour on the carvery, so I have it anyway.
Beef would always be my third choice. I'd always go...
Behind?
It's either the gammon or the pork, then the turkey, and then beef. I like beef, but beef joints tend to be... they dry out quick, so if they have been there a while, you're chewing boot leather.
Yeah, that's what the gravy's for.
Yeah, but it drinks all the gravy.
Yeah, true. I never touched the gammon on a carvery.
But Tommy drinks all the gravy in the North Cubes.
I don't think gammon's a Sunday dinner meat.
Oh, so it's not traditional.
No. So I want to join you at the carvery.
You can be at the kids' table.
Do I get a colour in?
The $4.99 option. You get one small Yorkshire pudding. But unlimited veg.
Free fruit. Wait, can we take Tolly to Morrison's, please? Because I'm running out of apples and I really need some.
Just grab a handful of them. Wonky apples. That's a good pick. Carvery's a classic. They actually, Americans don't know what they're missing with a good carvery.
No, they don't. Next up, big fat juicy burger. It's got to have, probably got to have two patties in it. It's got to have onion rings in it.
Oh, no.
It's got to have barbecue sauce in it. And it's got to have, like, preferably a Monterey Jack in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Take the onion rings off and we'll talk.
No, I've got to have onion rings in a burger. Love it.
You can have them to the side.
No.
You don't have the onion rings to the side.
Nah, mate, that's how you make a rodeo burger. Like, that's, I love that burger. That's like, Tolly, that's a good shout, mate. Yeah. You've got good taste.
Rodeo's a great burger.
That one time, mate. That's a good shout.
What bun would you have?
Oh, lightly toasted brioche.
Oh, I love a brioche. Yeah. I love a brioche. Great pick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Number three, nice bit of pork belly.
Oh.
Pork belly on a, you know, bit of mash and some kind of fancy jus or sauce. You know your jus and sauces. I don't. I just take whatever's on the menu.
Well, pork is good with like apple sauce, something sweet. Yeah,
I like it when they get that like on MasterChef, they take a knife of apple and they kind of spread it on the plate, like a little artistic smear.
That annoys the fuck out of me.
Oh, really?
When I see it, I cringe inside and I just want to like pick up the plate and lob it. Yeah, the painting across, it annoys. Just leave a blob of it there so it's there's plenty of me to go at. Don't spread it all the way across the plate because I might not want to mix it in with some stuff. I might just want to keep it with the meat.
I want mine painted on, mainly because it annoys you. I want it even more so now.
You know, around my end, there's not a lot of places that actually do a decent pork belly.
No, I'm quite lucky, yeah. I had one a couple of weeks ago. It was very nice.
Mm-hmm. See,
when it comes to a plate for me, yeah, I always look at like Mags is saying, like he wants like a blob of whatever it is, yeah. I like when people like do that thing, you know, like the little painting thing. Sometimes if it keeps it away from the food. So like if they just like whack it on the plate and it's like greased and stuff and like the plate looks disgusting, then to me, I don't want to eat it, yeah. But if it's done like classily, like I like it. And like the plates that I've been putting out, like I spent ages because I fucked up like the zigzag. Because I learned the zigzag when I used to work it as a waiter a long time ago. And I remember like one of my proudest days was like putting that little plop, the little fucking zigzag as they went out to the kitchen. And all these waiting staff looked at me like I was the like artistic. No, I wasn't artistic, mate. I was the one that they got to go and do it because I had nothing better to do. I got paid like £8 an hour to just paint on some plates. It's fantastic.
Living the dream.
Mm.
I love that, doing that with like olive oil as well, just spraying it all over the kitchen, just so you can just you pretend you're a chef. Waste half a bottle of extra virgin.
One arm in the air, like Ainsley Harriet. Person right on from 6 foot up.
Oh.
Wow. Round your Mount Rushmore off, Paul.
Eat and mess.
Oh,
damn.
It all depends on the fruit that goes in it.
Oh, it's got to be red fruits. It's got to be strawberries, basically.
Mm.
No? What are you putting in an eating mess?
Like blueberries, loganberries. Yeah, I'm a purple fruit guy.
Okay. Mm. No, I like the more traditional, just eating mess. Nice and sweet.
Are you going for double cream or are you going to go for cream? Like, what do you have with your eating mess? Because I've recently discovered, like, well, last year, I don't have any money at the moment, but I discovered last year, double cream, which is, like, it's very Moorish. I didn't realise, like, I could just sit there and drink cream all day, like you a mean, cat.
You've only just discovered double cream.
Not only, I mean, like last year, yeah. I mean, I only discovered how much I would miss it when it wasn't, like, available to me. Yeah, because... no, I love it, mate. Like I used to, but with eat and mess and stuff, like we're going back to like the crumbles and all that kind of stuff. Eat and mess is one of my favorite desserts because you can have it with either cream or custard, but it's always nice to know what people have it with. Cause I like to have an eat and mess cold with cream, but I know a lot of people that tend to have it with custard, which I just think, I feel like it's a Tolly thing to do. So I would thought like I'd ask.
No, I wouldn't go custard. I'd go double cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got to be cold. It's got to be cold.
Whipped right. Until you can like basically turn the spoon over and it sticks to it.
Yeah, and you can put it over your head. Yeah.
So you can like flag your drive with it. It's got to be that thick.
Yeah. Sometimes I will pick the restaurant we're going to based on if they've got eat and mess on the menu. Fuck neither. Everything else.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good thing to do. You call in advance. You're like, and they're like, hello, this is a restaurant which is no longer open because of the like pandemic. And they're like, yes. And then you say, have you got eaten mess? And they're like, no. And they're like, oh, well, that's a shame. Would you like a table? End of the conversation. I like that.
Beep.
You don't even check if they've got bookings, like any seats available. And it's like, that could be the only call they got all pandemic. And you're like, fuck them.
It's really awkward when you call it McDonald's.
I don't know how much pork belly you get from McDonald's as well.
Every day of my life, I get turned away from McDonald's because they haven't
They're not known for their like red wine jus at McDonald's.
It's like they've got Muck Cafe. They're opening up their new franchise very soon, Muck Soiree. The problem is, yeah, it's just a little too late for everyone.
Wow. Oh, well, there were some great picks. I'm actually really hungry now, even though I have just eaten.
The same, I'm starving now.
I've eaten as well. I ate before this because I knew that you guys would get me hungry or angry or one of them. But I figured hungry is probably the other one.
It's your boy, Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash from The Outsider's Edge. I'm here with my brother, Kyle, and we just want to shout out the Badlands Podcast. Check it out. The Mount Rushmore of podcasting. You have Darren, Mags, you have Paul Tolley. Check them out. Chairshot Radio Network. Come out every week. Give them a listen.
Check them out. They're a great show, y'all. If you haven't heard them before, it's a lot of fun. It's an awesome show. We're big fans here at The Edge. And check out all the other shows here at The Chair Shot where you
can always use your head. And if you don't like that, we don't give a
fuck. Thanks for listening.
So let's get on to the main topic now. Fowl, last time you were on this show, we did Wrestling Raw Stories, and we said that you'd be back to cover more because there were a lot of funny Wrestling Raw Stories to cover. And that is definitely still going to happen. We can't wait for that. But with your kind of memeing and the kind of like positive influence you've had on the wrestling community as of late, and the fact that wrestling kind of needs a little bit of positivity recently. It's been quite a toxic place. We thought we'd do a Mount Rushmore of the positive things in wrestling. And you would be the perfect person to handle that topic. So let's start with you. What's your first positive in wrestling?
Well, I mean, personally, and yeah, I'm going to put myself up a tiny bit in this first one, but I have, in wrestling to me, has been with me my whole life and for a lot of us in the community. And this year, from January up until this period now, so we're recording on the start of September. Mm-hmm. So I have been lifted and safely, like, almost like looked after by the wrestling community for the past 9 months. Essentially, with helping me out with anything and everything, not just like money was like way down on the line, everything else, just like motivation and keeping me going. And so within wrestling, as such, like the first thing I wanted to put on that Mount Rushmore is that there is unity and that we are all wrestling fans. Like, and that's something that I think that this pandemic especially has shown, that there's a lot of people that instead of just like, obviously the arguments and stuff, toxicity, but the thing that really brought everyone together is like, people would talk about matches from the old days or talk about things that are happening. And I think that the dialogue that's happening within wrestling now especially, it's a lot more honest and open, and that makes it positive. Not everything doesn't have to be like la-di-da-di-da, but you got to be serious sometimes. But I think it's great that people can do that now without it feeling cynical. Because I think up until quite recently, people were very cynical when you were like, hey, I'm a positive person. Because they're like, but why? Why are you positive? And it's like, well, because it takes a lot more energy to be like angry about something. So that's my first very roundabout kind of first thing I put on there, which is just that.
The community in general.
Yeah, the community.
Yeah, it's a great pick. Paul, is it my turn to go first this week or is it your turn? I can never remember.
I'm not entirely sure. It feels like ages since we last recorded.
Even though it was literally a week ago.
You can go first if you want, if you'd like.
Well, I'm going to double down on what Val said. One of my picks was the internet wrestling community. My kind of view on it is you get a lot of focus on it being negative. You get a lot of people that are saying, oh, the internet wrestling community is toxic. But I know from my experience that there's plenty of kind of positives from being a member of this this community we've got. And the first thing that really jumps out at me is the fact it takes watching wrestling from being kind of like a solo pastime, something that you do on your own, to where you can have active conversations with people literally whilst you're at the comfort of your own home, or in some cases in the mum's basement. And even when like the wrestling shows are over, you still have these conversations. They still don't end, and you're also not kind of limited to your close friends or people who you know. The conversations are with people half the world away. I mean, how many times have we spent hours and hours talking to people from America, or someone like Josh from Australia, even people in Guam? We had a conversation with one man crew from Guam. Even people who live in the ghetto of Stevenage. We've even had chats with people from there.
Even Bristol
and Birmingham.
Yes, exactly.
But another great thing that kind of gets overlooked with the wrestling community is it helps you expand your wrestling knowledge. How many times have you been a wrestling fan and not known about a certain promotion or a certain wrestler, and you've got in conversation about it, and you've gone out and actively looked for that company? I mean, I did it very recently with Synergy. I've become a big fan of Synergy through talking with the likes of Queen and Tiff, and to the point where we've had Colin on our shows and really helped promote their events. Now, that's not me kind of like painting the community as a perfect place. It's definitely got its own toxic side. I'll definitely admit that. Whenever you get a community of people, there's always going to be a small section that want to kind of bring the mood down. You get negativity, you get trolls. And even when it's sometimes hard to kind of ignore that bullying or that abuse, I think it just bears repeating, and it needs to be remembered that those people are very much in the minority. They may have the loudest voices, but scratch underneath that surface of negativity, and there's way more people who just want to be positive and have a level-headed conversation and just be happy to be a part of a wrestling community. So, yeah, I'm going to double down with Fowl, and I'm going to go with our first pick as the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community.
Yeah, I'd agree with you both. Being part of the community is... It is special. For me, all my favorite kind of pay-per-views I watch, or wrestling shows I watch, have been with other people, kind of with me in the room. But obviously, coming from the UK, all pay-per-views, whether they're in America or Japan, are on at ridiculous times of day. So it's just not practical. So it's you know, the IWC community and the Twitter community allow you to do that with every pay-per-view and every show, and it is really fun to be a part of, as long as you can ignore those negative voices. And I've got a lot more happier with the mute button recently. It is a really positive place.
Mm-hmm. It's as positive as you make it. If you surround yourself with the negativity, it's going to breed, it's going to fester. But if you surround yourself with healthy debate and people who can take criticism but still kind of have a decent conversation, it makes it a really, really wonderful place to be involved.
Yeah,
I think that's the major point. Yeah, and that's the major point about, I think, where people talk about like positivity and, you know, like cynicism about it and stuff. It's that when it comes to any social media platform, like I've recently, you guys talked about, like Tolly talked about the mute button and stuff, like, and being more liberal with it. I never used to really, like, I wanted to be able to speak to everyone. And I kind of had this feeling in my mind where I was like, well, even if we have a disagreement over something, we can still have a conversation. But there are some people that are just out there to, there are some people that choose to use Twitter as a way to just get a personal vendetta over, or they want to just be angry for angry's sake. And I think what it is, as you said, those loudest voices, negativity, a lot of people say negativity, like block negativity and stuff. It's criticism. And as you said, Mags, it's if people are willing to, I'm never going to know everything. No one is ever going to know everything. You can't say you know everything because that is factually a lie. But if you can be graceful in when you're wrong, like I was tweeting out the other day during NXT live, and I've really enjoyed doing the live tweet alongs. I'm loving them because you get to have that instant conversation with people. And I was like talking about NXT and I said, oh, well, the performance center looks a little bit different. And then someone corrected me on Twitter. Now I'm in the, now in theory, I should know that. And in any other community, I feel like I would have been like lambasted for that. But instead I was like, oh my God, thank you for that. You know, that piece of information I wouldn't know. And I think that's what I love the wrestling community for. Like, there's so many people that are afraid to ask questions, but there are so many people out there that are willing to have a conversation in a very respectful way. Like, and if you're going to do that, then you're someone that I want to talk to.
Yeah. Some of the best conversations I've had is with people who I don't agree with, because you learn more. I think that's made me a better, kind of more rounded fan, because I've learned stuff about wrestling that I didn't know before through having those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. I would never meet someone I disagree with. I'd meet someone I get into a confrontation with if it's their fault. They've instigated, they're looking for an argument deliberately. But one of my pet hates that I hate the most is when I see stuff like, if you support Donald Trump, then unfollow me and block me and all that. What? Why? I would never be like, and if I do see that, I tend to block that person.
it's like I'm all about, yeah, like on social media, I'm all about having a stand. And like I you'll know from like certain things I've done in the past, like I don't like to have big, large like arguments with people, because I don't think that when we're talking about wrestling, that shouldn't be part of it. When it comes to politics, and I saw this over the past few months of May and June, you know, obviously there are a lot of really, really real world issues going on, and people were kind of unsure of what to say, and so was I. But because it was moving so fast, I was never going to speak to someone and say, because you have a different political ideology to me, I cannot speak to you. Because on the internet, most people have a different political ideology to you. So you're never going to find someone that is exactly the same as you. So you can embrace that and say, okay, teach me about what you know. Or you can just go, well, you're wrong, have an argument. And then what does that do for anyone? I'm very much of the opinion that, as Mag says, as you do as well, Tolly, like you can make Twitter however you want it to be, or you can just get into arguments with people all the time. And I stopped doing, like, the last time I think I called someone out was because I was like, this is shitty. And I think that was RSN, and I don't think I should say their whole name, but it was them. And then a lot of people at the same time, but you can also see how fearful people were of calling them out, because people didn't want to be that kind of person. But no, it's great. I think that the internet wrestling community now, I feel, has matured, and I also have matured. So I won't be like going for the low hanging fruit and stuff. You want to have a conversation. You don't just want to go, like, because it doesn't help anyone. But yeah, definitely internet wrestling community has been one of the best things that I feel like I have been a part of ever.
Same, absolutely same.
That's a really good point, that on maturing yourself as well, because I felt like I had to have a look at myself and how I was conducting myself in conversations. And kind of, I don't know, I think it's natural instinct when you first start using Twitter or social media to go in very matter of fact in the conversations and just say Seth Rollins is the best. That's no way to start a conversation.
Yeah,
it's you know, you have to kind of appreciate that's your opinion, and what's the word, like encourage a counterpoint.
Yes, exactly.
Give and take. Exactly. Yeah. Give and take.
Yeah, yeah. Like, my whole thing is, we always, competition makes everyone better. And just like in a conversation, like, you don't raise the stakes of a conversation, but you kind of go, well, this is what I think. Please, I would like to know what you think. Like, not in a kind of, I think Twitter is really interesting, and like looking at it, like, because I've kind of been living in it now for the past few months, it's almost like a really good projection of yourself, and people will know when you're being genuine and people will know when you're not. And if you can get to a point where you can be your genuine self and have a genuine conversation, people tend to be genuine back to you. Mm-hmm. And you get to have a real conversation where it is, instead of it just being, yeah, like, Seth Rollins is the best, and then you go, no, Seth Rollins is not the best, you kind of go, well, actually, he was pretty good at the beginning of, and then you go, oh my God, we're having like a real conversation about this, like real people. And it's so magical sometimes. It really is. It's magical, man. Like, the amount of times it's happened is great.
So, yeah, both of us going with Internet Wrestling Community for our first picks. Vetoing that poll, yay or nay?
I've decided before, I'm going to spoiler, but I've decided before we started recording that as it's a positivity episode, I put my vetoes to one side. So feel free, you're safe tonight.
That's very magnanimous. I can't promise the same. So we'll go to Fowl for his second pick.
Okay, so this is more of a kind of positivities of wrestlers, and so I wanted to kind of name a few wrestlers, and they're going to all be lumped into the good that wrestlers and wrestling can do for people. Mm-hmm. So I've got Titus O'Neil. I've got The Rock, John Cena, and DDP. So all of these are lumped in as one, but it's basically all the different things that wrestling can do for people in a way of enriching their lives. So obviously DDP, DDP yoga, something which has stopped a lot of professional wrestlers from looking to pain medication and ways that would have shortened their life and potentially end their life, and has helped to foster a new kind of, a new look at what yoga is, especially because I know that within like a very macho sport, it's the kind of akin to a football player doing ballet. You need to have someone out there that first says, look, this is fine, for everyone else to do it. Cena, all of the work that he has done for kids out there and for people, and the love that he's had for wrestling. Like, no one, I think, ever in the history of professional wrestling, other than John Cena, who loved wrestling for wrestling and not just a cash cow. And even now, the stuff that he says on Twitter, like, he's such a nice guy. He seems like just such a nice guy. The Rock, obviously some really sad news at the moment, with himself and his family contracting COVID. Very sad. And my thoughts go out to him, but The Rock, he was one of the first people that was like the motivational meme. Like, he was that first person that went out there. You'd see that thing up in gyms. Like, I went to gyms every now and then, yeah. And I went to this one gym, and they just had The Rock's quote, and this is like 2002. So it's a long time ago. It was like 2002, 2003, and it was just one of his quotes about motivation. And seeing what he's done from then to now, and kind of looking to him as a kind of guiding light, definitely put him in there. And I also had the Young Bucks there as well, Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes as one, which is betting on yourself, knowing your worth, innovating, creating, and doing something, and inspiring people like me to take a bet on myself. Mm-hmm. Because I wouldn't have if they hadn't. So it's all in one, but it's the good that wrestling can do for people and society.
Yeah. So basically, I've encompassed that as wrestlers who use their status for the good of the world, basically.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's a great pick. Absolutely great pick. And some. Yeah, these guys, they could have easily rested on the laurels, made the millions and faded away into the sunset, but they've used that kind of that stature they've got to help people. And like I said, DDP is not only helping like the community and the people generally, it's helping really like physically broken down wrestlers to recover, which is absolutely amazing, really giving back. And I've done DDP yoga and fuck, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. It's definitely not your mama's yoga. Definitely not. So, Paul, let's go to you for our second pick.
Yeah, that leads me nicely onto mine, actually. Mine is very specific and a story that I only found out about in the past couple of weeks, again, through the community on Twitter, and one that I thought deserves to be shared a bit more, because it's not likely to have any focus. If you do follow me on Twitter, you'll know that kind of one of my favorite promotions right now is Pro Wrestling Noah. And when I was there, when I went to Japan to watch Wrestle Kingdom, I went to see Pro Wrestling Noah 2 days after in Korakuen Hall. And when I was there, I was really taken by the popularity of one wrestler in particular. I didn't know anything about Pro Wrestling Noah before this. And even though he didn't seem particularly prominent on the card at all, he was just in a normal tag match, no title or anything like that, but he was immensely popular with the crowd. And that wrestler was a guy called Hajime Ohara, who's an MMA trained wrestler, junior heavyweight wrestler, very good wrestler. And yeah, like I said, he's popular, and I came away from it as a fan of him as well. Now in Japan, you've got a feature of Japanese wrestling is that a wrestler or a stable tend to produce their own shows under the company banner. And every year, Hajime Ohara produces a show called Cults Kawasaki in his hometown of Kawasaki, which is kind of Pro Wrestling Noah's big show, big end of show summer before kicking off the N1 victory, which is basically their version of the G1. Mm-hmm. But what he does when, what I found out, that when he produces this show is he really makes it an event, kind of celebrating his hometown, and I should say Kawasaki is his hometown, so he makes it an event and puts on traditional dance and traditional theater and invites an orchestra to play and puts on like local entertainment before the show, kind of giving his home fans like a celebration when they're in town, but also giving the traveling fans a taste of his hometown of Kawasaki. But then what he also does is he partners with local organizations, so he can provide all the kids and all the elderly who attend this show with free soya milk for the show, which wow. Is pretty good. And like I said, he's only a wrestler. And this year, it happened a few weeks ago, and this year, obviously, coronavirus affected, so he couldn't do any of the entertainment around the show and stuff like that. But what he did do, and I think this is amazing, is he created or provided an audio description commentary for fans who are visually impaired.
Wow!
So they could put on the headphones and enjoy the wrestling show just like everybody else. And just hearing this story, and I heard it from Hizami, who, if you're a Pro Wrestling Noah fan, she's basically the Twitter account to go to for all Pro Wrestling Noah news. And she's got a fantastic blog as well. I just think if one wrestler can do all that to improve the fan experience of going to a show, imagine how much more positive the experience be if every wrestler kind of went at it with that amount of gusto. And it just appears to be a measure of the man looking into more of what his army's said about him. He's on local government health boards in Kawasaki. He's a voluntary fireman. He puts on exercise classes for the elderly. He's just an incredible, sounds like an incredible guy. And I'm going to put him forward in much the same way, under the same kind of category as Fal, wrestlers who, because let's face it, wrestlers get again a bad rap in 2020. So let's pick out the good apples and highlight them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a great, great pick. I cannot fault it. And I think what makes it kind of mean more is the fact he hasn't done it to kind of stroke his own ego. That's the first I've ever heard of it, which means obviously it's not like he's gone out to kind of like get press or like stroke from it. He's literally just wanted to provide for his community, and that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
That's why I wanted to pull it out, because, like I said, I'd never heard of it, and I'm a bit of a Noah fan now. So anyone who doesn't watch Noah is not going to have feared of that. And again, massive credit to his army for making all that known in the through her blogs and her podcasts, etc.
Yeah, it's a stellar pick, and I cannot fault it whatsoever. Fal, let's go back to you for your third pick, sir.
Well, again, like positivity in wrestling, it's kind of few and far between. And we've spoken about people that are like organizations or stuff that have done really, really good work for professional wrestling. There's the major thing that I kind of look to when it comes to any of these picks is that it's more about what it does for everyone than what it does for the individual. And I'd kind of like to almost put wrestling Twitter there, not just the community as a whole, but I would like to specifically speak about journalists within wrestling Twitter. And those journalists, again, there's a whole name, a list of names I could go through. I want to start with Tom Colohue.
Yeah.
He is an absolutely fantastic journalist that I have had the pleasure and honor of working with a few times. I'm very glad to have been able to have some very frank discussions with him, where we both learn. He says that he's learned a lot from me. I feel like I've learned a lot from him. And in how to conduct myself in a more, in a way which like gives my words more meaning, because I'm crediting and I'm using almost a journalistic method based on what I learned from him and the way that he conducts himself within podcasts that he does, and his Sports Keyed articles and himself on Twitter. I'd also like to mention like Gary Cassidy, who's also a fanatic British journalist who, I feel like their integrity is very, very intact, and they are very good at not putting bias into what they do, which is very, again, something that you don't get to see that often. Obviously, a lot of these names people probably already heard of. So Sean Ross Sapp, who was very nice to wish me a happy birthday on my birthday. He's a very nice guy. And from what I've seen so far, everyone that's worked with him, he, again, has quite a lot of integrity. He's not afraid to speak on certain topics, but he also reports very well. So, and also actually, if I'm mentioning names, Kristen Ashley, who is a fantastic advocate for women's wrestling, and she does not get enough praise. She does not get enough time for people to mention her name. And she does a lot of really good work as well. And she's also not afraid to speak her mind. And I'm glad to have these people. And there's so many more names as well that I'm missing, and I do apologize. But these are the people that I look to for the standard of how to report responsibly. And that's something that I think that within wrestling wrestling community and wrestling Twitter, especially in the wrestling journalism sphere, those are the people that I definitely look to. So that's a positive, is journalists that are not afraid, but also do not dredge. Because, as I said earlier on, RSN, that's the negative side of wrestling journalism. That's the low-hanging fruit. That's the chasing views, chasing money. That's not the way that we should be doing this. Those people that I've mentioned, those are the people are the way that we should be doing this. Holding people to account, but in a very responsible, constructive way.
Yeah, and I think the thing that stands out with all the names that you mentioned there is there seems to be like a race, like to be first past the post with wrestling news, like who can come out with the spoilers quickest. And I know we're having dealings with Tom and with Gary, and definitely with Kristen, that they're not that, like they will get double and sometimes triple check their sources. And even if it means that they're not the first out, they will still make sure that they've got that kind of integrity, that what they're putting out is something that they can rely on to be as accurate as possible. So yeah, it's, there's not enough wrestling journalists like these people who are willing to kind of like come in second place just to make sure that their news is accurate, rather than just fire out whatever kind of salacious rumor or even made up stuff that comes out. So yeah, it's a very, very good pick.
I think it's very, very hard in an industry that, like, a lot of people, the mainstream in air quotes, would look down upon, an entertainment form that the mainstream may look down upon, to be a journalist within that field and not sensationalize and look for cheap ways to do things and actually be a journalist. It's a really hard job, and they do a very hard job. Like, they do a lot of work to do that. So that's why I kind of look to them. But yes, it's really interesting to see it, like to see that kind of journalism happening, like to see this historical account of things, which isn't biased based on what wrestling promotion you've bought this week on a network.
Yeah. I think it's a great choice. And I've said on Twitter recently, but you yourself did a video with Tom Colohue, which I just think should be a user manual before you even comment on social media on a wrestler. never mind going into journalism. I mean, it's must watch if you want to go into journalism, because that video was fantastic and really made me evaluate kind of how I respond to news stories on Twitter.
Thank you. No, that was mainly Tom as well. That was, as I said, that was the topic I kind of brought to the dance, but Tom was the one who, and as I said, if you watch that video, I left in any point where I was wrong. I was like, no, this needs to stay in, because I need to know, like, people may ask this same question or make this same mistake. And no, you're right. He's learning, again, maturing. Wrestling Twitter has given me, Wrestling Twitter has been my little nursemaid as I've been in the gestation period since about January. And like, it's that was one of the really pivotal lessons I feel like I learned, and that was thanks to Tom. But thank you.
You're welcome. And it wasn't one-sided at all. It was very much a two-sided discussion. It was brilliant.
Yep, it is a great video, and it's a great segue to my second pick and our third pick overall. Man, it's content creation. So we mentioned earlier about the RWC, and with the kind of explosion of the internet wrestling community we got a plethora of people wanting to get their views and their thoughts on wrestling out there. And with that came content creating, with the likes of writing blogs, columns, reviews. The medium of the written word really kind of expanded as the internet expanded, and there was a massive audience there for people wanting to digest other people's takes on wrestling. But the thing with content creators is that they're an ingenious bunch of people, and it didn't take long before they started to enter different formats of content and forge different paths. And then the massive explosion of the likes of YouTube became a huge source of a fan creator content, one that Fowler is very, very much embedded in. But then along with that comes live streaming and the explosion of Twitch, which started as a gaming platform. It's now a very viable kind of platform to go and get your wrestling content. But then we get to preferred medium of choice, podcasting, the audio. As someone who kind of always wants some sort of like background noise on the go, listening to podcasts ticks every single box. It's portable, it's easy to find, and you just need a pair of headphones and you're away in your own little world. So after a little while of listening to the kind of big hitters in wrestling content, your professional wrestlers and your professional podcasters, people like Stone Cold, Jericho, even the Comrade Thompsons, I felt that fan-created content was what spoke to me more. These people sounded like me, they spoke like me, they had similar kind of views. And it wasn't long before that the kind of world of internet wrestling community and content creation merged for me, because I ended up being in contact with a lot of these creators, guys like Fowl, Anthony, Smart to Death, and I built up quite a few friendships. And with these friendships, I found that people did their own content. I mean, me and Paul kind of literally happened on a conversation of him having a podcast. It was just kind of a throwaway comment, and yeah, it was cool to see someone who I was talking to on a regular basis going there putting out content. So I'm the kind of person I'll go and definitely check out their stuff and see what it's about. But I'd never really had that kind of feeling to make my own content. It was just not something I thought was for me. And then I got invited on a couple of podcasts with Matt Willis, the Matt Attack UK, and a friend of the show, Ray Cash, who's going to be on next week. And I got the bug. I really, really got the bug for that enjoyment of having conversations about wrestling with people half of the world away. Just the excitement and the thrill of it. So I thought, yeah, maybe this is something I could do. I spoke to quite a few creators. I know I got a lot of help from the likes of Fowl, from the likes of Warren Hayes, Ricky and Clive, all that kind of like tapped up everybody for help and information on equipment and kind of style and how to really get into creating content. And with all that generous help, I took a plunge, and it's now 2 years down the line. I'll probably create more content than anybody in the whole community. And for me, it's the conversation. It's never been about clout, or it's never been about being the biggest creator or being the most popular or making a huge amount of money from it. It's always been about having great conversations, and the fact that I get to spend a day a week with the likes of a guest and Paul and just having a really good conversation. I mean, the amount of times we've actually had genuine belly laughs about the absurd parts of wrestling, it helps when you've had a stressful week and you just know that you're just going to be able to have a laugh. So I'm going to go with content creation. I think it's one of the best things that have come out of this kind of a boon of the internet wrestling community, and I'm glad that I'm part of that, and I'm really, it's always going to be a thing where if as long as I'm having fun doing it, I'm going to be putting my voice out there. So, and if I've got the likes of Paul to have on that journey, all the better. So, yeah, for me, I'm going with content creation.
I'm there with you all the way, man. Well, I am now anyway. Until the next virus hits.
Yeah. No, but it just is. I look forward to the midweek when we're recording a podcast. That's really right. What I look forward to, the research and finding out the stuff that perhaps I didn't know, or the stupid things that we've come up with as an idea. It's just fun for me, and I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, me too. What was the first thing that kind of planted that seed in your head about creating content out of interest?
Yeah, like I said, it was never a thing for me. I listened to hundreds and hundreds of podcasts, and it was just never, I could do this. I'd never got that kind of epiphany until I'd been on someone else's show. And I got feedback from Matt and Ray, because I did both their shows. I think it was like one day after the other. And like I said, I'd never been on a show before. And then all of a sudden I was like a bus. I was having two shows in 2 days. And I was absolutely nervous. I felt like I was robotic. And yeah, they got really good feedback. And both of them you should do this. You've got a good attitude for it. And it was kind of that thing like, yeah, I bet I could do that. And I think it took me about 3 or 4 months maybe of gathering information off people and kind of like wanting to take that step. And I've, since being a podcaster, I've like seen other people start their journey and they've come to me for advice. And it's the same kind of thing that you think, oh, I'm going to start doing it, and then you panic. You're like, I don't know what to do. Is it going to sound good? What equipment do I get? And I like to kind of pay it forward, where I'll help people on their road to a podcast. So yeah, that's kind of I'm the podfather now, I suppose. I help people create their content. But yeah, I think the epiphany was being on other people's shows and like getting that feel for it.
I think the rush of being on someone else's show, like here, it's so indescribable and it's so weird. Like, obviously we all know each other for some time now, so like this kind of show I'm happy to dip in and out, but like you'll go on some shows, and especially when you first start out, you constantly, like, this is why I always say I go on people's shows and fuck their format up, because I just go on their show and I'm like, well, I know that you've got like an established thing that you do, but can I just it's almost like that wanting to be the person in control of that show. And then the second that you've done it a few times, you're like, oh, I could do this. And it is weird. Like, for me, it was strange because I'd already done the YouTube stuff. Coming into podcasting was like totally different, because instead of now like speaking to a void, there were like other people like involved in the conversation that I'm like, oh, wait, I need to shut up because that person's speaking. Oh, wait, I need to. And it's a different skill, isn't it? But mm-hmm. I have absolutely loved, like, you, for example. I love coming on a Mags joint show, because it's like Mags plus someone, or just Mags has got this idea. And like the amount of like seeing your journey and like the level of creativity in the concepts to begin with as a base, and then working on that, like, it's great. And just the goddamn like quantity of the amounts that you put out there, like, it's no, but it speaks
all
to me.
Filler, no killer.
Exactly. But you know what? It speaks to me, because it's like, so Mags can attest to this. Yeah. So obviously we're recording tonight. It's Thursday. And so on Tuesday, I message Mags and I'm like, say, if you're ready for tonight, like 8 o'clock. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, so the recording's tonight, right? You know why I thought that? Because when we were on Headlock Talk Show on Saturday night, after I hadn't slept for like 38 hours, Mags is like, I'll speak to you on Tuesday night. Like, you probably said Thursday.
I did say Tuesday. Yeah, I did.
So in my mind, I was like looking through my DMs and I was like, maybe I did say Tuesday. It has been like 3 hours, whatever. So I'm like, I'm ready to go. But that point was, I am not organized as well as someone like Mags, because I would have been sitting there going, well, I guess we've got stuff to do. And I would have told other people that I couldn't do something on Tuesday. And then afterwards, went, uh-oh, lols. But it speaks to how organized you are to do that much. But it also shows how much you enjoy it, because there's a lot of work that goes into one podcast, let alone the mass that you do, and being able to do everything else. So content creation in the wrestling community, it's, for me especially over the past few months, like being able to do different things and tie it into wrestling, like, you know, I've always wanted to do these kind of things, but there was never an audience. But it's now like, cool. Well, I guess if I mash up like Rock Hudson and The Rock, people might like this. But otherwise, like, that joke is really weird and it would never make sense anywhere. But the wrestling community are like, lol, it's foul. Like, I'll just get that now. Lol, it's him. Like, give him pity laugh to start with, at least. And it's given me that confidence to want to do this stuff. So, like, you guys are doing this stuff. Obviously, everything that you guys do, this show in its existence, like, is a testament to two people that are on different, essentially different parts of the world that they could be, that come together and have a chat on a Wednesday night. It is Wednesday, no, it's Thursday. On a Thursday night. on a Thursday night with an idiot from another part of the world. But no, it's really cool, man. And wrestling content creation within wrestling, I have never been so driven to learn how to do something and know how to do it and express myself in a different way than I have been in the wrestling community, because it's sometimes an arms race of creativity, but I thrive then that happens. I love it.
So you've already said you're not vetoing that, so that pick is staying on our Mount Rushmore. Fowl, let's go to you to finish your Mount Rushmore off.
So I was going to go for content creation myself as one of them, but I figured that you guys go for it. So with my last one, it would probably be the most positive things to come for wrestling has been, and I want to say in the nicest way, but wrestling has been a great security blanket this year. And I mean that in a general way. And I don't mean that in a condescending way whatsoever, because it's been a security blanket for me as well. I've been sitting there sucking on my thumb. Like, yeah, it's been a great...
I get what you mean. It's something you can lean on, knowing that the world's burning, but you've got something that you can switch your mind off and go and enjoy and not have to worry.
Exactly. Like, it's been there for, I think, all of us. It's the one form of entertainment, like, I watch EastEnders. So for those of you that are from Britain, yeah. And tonight, before the show started, EastEnders is coming back September 7th. Yeah, I'm so excited. Like,
same day as Hollyoaks.
I'm excited for Hollyoaks.
Same day as my new job starts. Yeah. New job, Hollyoaks. It's all great. It's all great. Like, what a day for all of us. The triple threat. Yeah.
Should all go for a carvery and celebrate.
Oh, we should, shouldn't we?
Oh, that would be legendary.
Let's go down to the Queen Vic. Let's go to the Queen Vic. Like, that would be fantastic. I'll buy you all something down. I'll buy you something down the fish and chip shop, down Ian Beale's fish and chip shop. But it's crazy, man. Like, so they had like their first season break. Even EastEnders, which has been going on for about 20, almost 30 years, had a break because they couldn't produce content anymore. TV shows started to become repeats. It, like, nothing in reality happened, but wrestling kept going. Like, I spoke to my uncle not that long ago, and he was asking kind of like what I'm doing, new job and stuff. And I was like, so he's an entrepreneur and he always looks towards new things, but he doesn't always have the heart for those things. So I'm like, I still like wrestling. He's like, you still like wrestling? And we're talking about it. And he was like, he always told me once, he said, what if your business, like your idea that you're going to make content-wise, what if it just decides it's not going to happen tomorrow? I was like, it's wrestling. It's never going to go away. And like, he laughed in my face, like literally laughed in my face that day. And when I spoke to him, and a lot of his businesses have had to go by the wayside because a lot of them were beauty and stuff like that, which is not really happening in the pandemic. He was like, what about wrestling? And I'm like, well, guess what? Like, wrestling just kept going. You know, your football that you watch, that ended, didn't it? Wrestling didn't. Like, pretty much the day that everyone got told you got to stay in your house, Wrestle Talk put on, like, that No Fans Monday thing. Like, immediately, there was not even a second of no wrestling. It was like, no fans, eh? Cool. This thing is going to happen on YouTube for you people. And then WrestleMania. WrestleMania is actually going to happen. And it was been such a great distraction from the world, but in a very healthy way.
I think it's helped wrestling innovate as well. I think with the likes of the cinematic matches and the WWE Thunderdome, it's made wrestling kind of change the way it's broadcast, I think.
And the way we perceive it. Like, the way that we can perceive a wrestling show, because up until the start of this year, it was always, oh, well, look, they couldn't draw enough fans. Look how empty the arena looks. Oh, look, they had to top off half of it. Who do they think they're kidding? They can't even sell 700 seats. Now, this Saturday, and I was listening to the All Out Media call just before now, and they're going to have Tony Khan's like, we might have 700 fans in the arena. And people are like celebrating this like it is the second, because it is, because it actually is, because it's like now that's no longer going to be a perception about what your product is like, how good it is. Because even before this, like people used to make fun of the NWA for their studio shows. They were like, oh, they can only draw like WWE can have millions. And it's like, well, no, everyone's leveled. This is a level playing field now. The quality of your work and your presentation is going to be what cuts through. And that's great.
And I think it's the fact that when something is on the verge of being took away, you realise just how much you enjoyed it and you kind of want it more.
Yeah. What the hell would any of us have done or talked about for the last 6 months?
You know what I'm saying, mate? Like,
genuinely, though. But...
You know what? Like, I had this little period. I had this little period of time at the beginning of like the lockdown for us in the UK when it first went down. So I live in a shared house, so everyone was taking it in different ways. Now I had already quit my job, so I was basically the guy that was like, "So you're all going to be here now? Thanks. Like, I didn't think you guys were going to be here every day. I quit my job so that I'd have an empty house, but that's fine." And like everyone was taking, like one of the guys worked from home, another guy wasn't working, another guy was kind of looking for work as well. So everyone's kind of in the house. Now, everyone had this period of kind of like we all had it, even I had it, of like existentialism. Like an existential dread even, and you were kind of all looking around going like, I don't, like, what am I then? Like, so what am I? And after drinking for like the third day straight, sitting in the hot, I don't know why it was so sunny, British sunshine, and I'm like, what am I? This, I'd come back to this, I'd be like, oh, well, Raw's on tonight. Oh, well, SmackDown's on. And I'd be like, okay, and it just drew me back. And then, yeah, like, there was a point I remember where I was just sitting, like, live streaming me playing, like, WrestleMania something, like, on, like, an old arcade system. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? Like, but everyone else in the house was going, like, manic, because they were just like, so what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to go create some content. Cool, can I come help? No, like, you don't like wrestling? I can like wrestling. No, because I need to go and, like, edit video and stuff. And it's like, after a few days, you realize, like, shit, man, like, unless you do something with your time, that number one, you've got lots of it. And when you've got lots of it, this is a great way to do something with it. Yeah, what would we have spoken about? I think we went into, like, on Twitter, we started talking about British sitcoms and stuff for a long time. I remember that happened for ages when there was, like, no wrestling for, like, 2 days. And then we started talking about Mindr. I remember that. Like, and that was another thing. I was like, that was about April, March time. Like, how long has this year been? Like, really? Yeah. In 6 months, so much has happened. So
we're
many people
in the
have
back
left.
Quarter of the year. We're in the back quarter of the year.
It's crazy.
Already.
Crazy.
Shocking.
For me, I think this was a bit of an injustice and kind of one of those instances of complete misinformation on Twitter and just grabbing the wrong end of the stick, because WWE and AEW came under enormous criticism on social media for running the shows and putting the wrestlers at risk, apparently. And I think they both deserve enormous credit for carrying on. And the wrestlers who chose to carry on deserve enormous credit, because I saw earlier you were commenting on Tony Khan's conference call.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it himself, you know, it's created opportunities for wrestlers who wouldn't usually get those opportunities. You've seen the same in WWE, and that is the evidence there that all these wrestlers had a choice. And you can see by the absence list, every single wrestler had a choice. They didn't have to be there if they didn't want to. and they were treated as adults and as professionals to make that choice for themselves. So, but everyone obviously has to criticize Big Bad Vince or Big Bad Tony, depending on what side they're on. And they, I think they just got it completely wrong. Like I said, I think WWE and AEW deserve massive credit for keeping a bit of normality on TV. Because, you know, wrestling is a massive solace for a lot of people. You see, you know, again, you see on Twitter every day, a lot of people value it very, very highly. And for that to have been taken away, as well as pretty much every other freedom we we previously enjoyed, it could have had a devastating effect on a lot of people.
You're right. And I mean, I was one of the people who criticized that WWE and AEW for wanting fans at the shows. But again, I've never been of a kind of person who has a steadfast opinion, and it cannot be swayed no matter what. And I can see now that back then, yeah, it was good that they still brought us a product, because what would we have talked about? What would have been our kind of a security blanket? Going back to Fowler's point, what would have been our security blanket in this horrific time?
Yeah, and that's the crucial thing. They never actually put one fan at risk. So they provided the entertainment, but never put one fan at risk, and that's what's important. Like I said, it's up to the wrestlers whether they want to do it or not. If I want to go back to the office tomorrow, that's my choice.
Like what they did in Japan, like in New Japan, that was like what I think was really interesting with wrestling, and I think it was almost like in some cases it was a microcosm of what was happening within that country or within that society. And so in the United States, you almost had a kind of like, we're just going to soldier on, we'll get it done. And in Japan, with New Japan, obviously the way that the whole of the country was is obviously they've got fans back now. And that first show that they had fans at, they did the major angle that they needed or that was expected of them to get that massive reaction. And even now what they did at like at Jungu, at Summer Struggle, that was very interesting. The stuff like being in a baseball park, I'd never seen that before. And that was spectacular way to present it, but still keep the fans safe and do that in a responsible way, because I was critical of what was going on at the beginning as well, because I'm a bit like, there's a whole pandemic, why are we doing wrestling stuff? But then it came down to it, it's like, this isn't going to be over in a week. This isn't going to be over in 2 weeks. This ain't even going to be over in a month. It's probably not going to be over for a few years in full totality. So what do we do? Like, all the big shows have to cut themselves because you can't get a whole bunch of like stars to fly in and do 20 different days for one day of footage. You kind of can with wrestling. Like, it's got a very unique aspect to it where it's just two people. And if it wasn't for wrestling innovating and moving forward, a lot of the other things probably wouldn't. I think the WWE innovated a lot of stuff, and AEW and other wrestling promotions innovated so much that the product that we watched last year compared to what we watch now is so different, for so many good reasons. I think, like, I was thinking about this earlier on, actually, this whole demo god thing with Jericho and AEW, if it wasn't for the pandemic, AEW wouldn't have gone so meta and fourth wall breaking as much as they did, but they did. And we loved them for it, because every time they did, the WWE would have to inch closer to kind of break that fourth wall themselves. And then they'd get ever so close. And now you've got Randy Orton saying that, you know, we had Randy Orton and Edge in a goddamn match. So it's the greatest wrestling match of all time before the match has even happened. And you're like, WWE, I hate you so much. You're working me, but I love you so much because you're working me and you're doing it correctly. You're doing it right. Like, even with Roman Reigns now, this would not be happening if wrestling wasn't in the current state that it's in, or the world isn't the current state that it's in, sorry. But we wouldn't be able to get so angry over it when there's not even fans there, because they were virtually. And it speaks to something that I said a long, long time ago, which is the WWE never did this properly, but now they've learned. They were always trying to work the people in the building. when they should have been working everyone outside of the building, and now they know how to do that properly. And AEW always knew how to do that, but WWE do now, and I can't wait to see what they've got in store for us coming up to the end of the year, because this was something that Tom, actually, Colin Hughes said in Sports Keeda, and it was something that he said on his live stream, but it was expected that the Thunderdome was going to be in existence. They had the lease till the end of the year. So they've got the lease to the Amway Center till the end of 2020, and then it's kind of where you're going to go next. So yeah, they've got, I can't wait to see what they do for the Rumble. I can't wait to see what they do for the Rumble.
So security blanket, as the wrestling security blanket, is a great pick. Paul, finish off our round, Mount Rushmore.
Okay, I mean, that was actually going to be my next one, but I'm not gonna pick it now. Let's go for something a bit different. I'm gonna go for choice. I think a big positive about pro wrestling right now is the amount of choice you've got, and not just us as fans, but the wrestlers themselves. We've obviously seen John Moxley exercise his choice and go and become the AEW champion and a New Japan US champion. Very recently, we've seen Eric Young and Diona, I'm not sure her name, Diona Purrazzo.
Purrazzo.
Well, did they exercise their choice? They were released, but you know what I mean. They were released and they were able to go elsewhere and become big stars and champions in Impact almost immediately. And you do just now, you can watch whatever you want for like the first time in history as a wrestling fan. If you want to be a Synergy pro wrestling fan based in Abergavenny, you can. And you can give them your money and you can support them and you can support the wrestlers through pro wrestling tees. And you can do whatever you want. I can watch Pro Wrestling Noah whenever I want. Whereas before it would be looking out for clips and bits and pieces on YouTube if you were lucky. And obviously before YouTube, tape trading, which I was never part of. So I just think that the vast number of options that are available out there. And you know, Fight TV are doing great things in making loads more companies more visible. A lot of the British companies before coronavirus were going online and not just going online and streaming, but putting their whole back catalogs on. You can pick a company and you can go watch their entire history if you want and become a fan. That's just fantastic. And like you alluded to earlier, in the community is a great shopping window for finding what choices are out there. You see people talking about companies you've never heard of. And again, click of a button, you can go check it out yourself. GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to, however they're pronounced. They're like,
I pronounce it SIF.
SIF? Bang, and the work is done.
Lemon sip.
Yeah, but again, it's like a short snap, grabs your attention. Again, find out what it is and go check it out. And it is great for wrestlers because for a long time, NXT was the holding bay for pretty much every wrestler who'd ever got a bit of clout in their life, and now WWE's hand has been forced and they had to do what they did in releasing a lot of wrestlers. And now wrestlers have the choice of never even going to WWE if they don't want to do that. And seemingly make a comfortable living. So I think it's a great era to live in because of that.
It's a great pick. It really, really is. And we've said many times on this show and on, I've even mentioned it on Wild Watch quite a lot, we're in the best era of wrestling for choice. There's never been an era where you can have a very specific kind of niche style of wrestling that suits you, and there is definitely going to be a company out there that will satiate that need. So yeah, it's a great, great pick.
Something out there for everyone. Genuinely.
Absolutely.
No, they're really, 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 really is. They really, 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 really is. There you go. That was speaking.
Zig-a-zig-ah. So, Mr. Fowl, what we need from you now is a topic for a future guest. Before the pandemic era occurred, me and Paul would throw out choices, but since Paul's come back and he's developed a bit of a lazy streak, we just leave it up to the guest now, and we let the guest decide what kind of topic they'd like to hear Mount Rushmore on. So, what topic would Fab Original like to hear a Badlands Mount Rushmore on?
Okay, so let's think. I'd like to hear a Mount Rushmore on biggest defections to another promotion.
It's a good one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, your Mount Rushmore.
Lex Luger's got to be in there straight away.
But obviously, you can get some, like, I would think, because it's a very interesting thing to think. Even now, obviously, we got defections, but Lex Luger, yeah, most definitely. And it's like I'd say like Kurt Angle, like, because Angle to TNA. Oh my God, that was some sneaky. That was some like 80s sneak. That was some like, I'm Kevin Nash and I've quit wrestling and now I've gone to another promotion kind of sneak. That's sly. Like, God damn it. That's why he's a technical marvel. Oh, transition straight into it.
One of the best ones was the Brian Pillman one where he actively conned WCW into giving him his release, pretending it was a storyline, and then went and signed for WWE. which is just that guy finessed the absolute brilliance out of WCW. So yeah, it's a great topic and one we've never ever had before. So yeah, can't wait to talk about that one. Fal, this has been absolutely amazing. Let the Badlands listeners know where they can get hold of Fal Original and your danky dank dank memes.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for having me on. This has been very enjoyable. It's nice. It's very nice to get down to chat to some classy Brits. I speak to Yanks all the time. I love you all. I love you all. But you can find me on Twitter at @Fal_Original. You can find me. Today I have my window open, so every now and then I'm muting when a car goes past. So today... It's classy, but you can find me on Twitter @Fal_Original. You can also find me on Instagram @Fal_Original, no underscore. Go to FalOriginal.com. You can go to my Patreon, tier start at $1. I've got an album on there, loads of other stuff. I'll be producing some more image related content moving forwards this month. But go check that out. Go to my YouTube, youtube.com/FalOriginalWrestling. I have a weekly show which happens every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. UK time, called the Weekly Wrestling Recap on my YouTube channel, where we talk about wrestling. And it's fun time. We have a live chat and I am going to be live tweeting for loads of other stuff. You can also now, if you watch the Fight TV presentation of AEW Dynamite, you can find good old Fal Original as a black belt in the chat. So I'll be there helping to have a little chin wag and stuff. There's a lot of Brits in there from the last week that I was in there on Wednesday. So if you see the chat and you see the name Fal Original, that is actually me. And I'll be very grateful to Fight for giving me this opportunity to be able to work with them. It's like a dream come true. And I'm very, very glad to do that. But yes, you can find me on Twitter and then obviously dank memes all the time. You find a lot of my memes in the subreddits and I'm also Fal Original there.
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. I mean, I know I speak for Paul. We've known you for so long, and to see how much of a pillar of this community that you are, and how even though you're huge, absolutely huge compared to the likes of us, you've still never kind of lost that kind of link with the rest of the community. It's something really, really that a lot of us appreciate.
Well, it's one thing that I wanted to say, and like a lot of people always say this to me, it's hard to kind of explain, but I never, like, numbers to me don't mean a lot. So to a lot of people, they do. But to me, it's stuff like this that means a lot more. Like some of the things that I've done, those have been really fun for me as a wrestling fan, not as someone looking to just make a bag. And I think that's the difference, is that I was always here as a wrestling fan first and someone that was grateful to be part of the conversation to begin with and grateful to be given an opportunity. And I never see anyone beneath me. We're all goddamn peers, and you guys are my peers. And anyone that's starting like a podcast or something, we're all just peers. No one is better than anyone else. And if you, as long as you remember that, like, you'll have a fun time doing content.
Absolutely. But we are all better than Paul Talley, especially outros. So, Paul, I know I threw you for a bit of a loop without you having to quickly edit your script for your outro. Do you think you can nail it this week?
I didn't bother editing it, so this will be good, won't it? And I was just feeling nice and positive vibes running throughout me then, and you had to bring me down at the end, didn't you? Bully you are.
I'm one of the negatives of the wrestling community.
I like how I said everyone who criticised WWE and AEW at the beginning were dickheads, and then you both went, actually, we did. Whoops.
Yeah, but I think that's a good thing that you can look back and know that, yeah, you were wrong. I know that my attitude back then, whilst I felt like I had good intentions, yeah, it was the wrong attitude to have, and I'm happy to kind of admit that.
It's like when you look back, it's like when, well, I'm not really on there anymore, but every now and then I'll get an email from Facebook and it will say, hey, do you remember what you posted 10 years ago? And I'll be like, I was such an emo. Like, why did I say that? Like, and I can laugh at myself. Like, there's a photo I put up on Twitter of myself, like, looking like an absolute crazy person with, like, my hair, my ringlets and stuff. And I was like, that's one of the only photos that survives from that time. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Wow. I know how you feel, because basically the only photo that exists of me online is hugging Marty Skrull. So
also you're on the front of PWI, so you know, like,
swings around roundabouts.
No, don't say swings and roundabouts around Marty Skrull. Yeah. Jeez,
that's not a good thing.
That's where we met.
This is why I'm never going to get any work with Brit wrestlers. Like, not because of that, but because I'm making jokes about it. But in all seriousness, no.
Number one on PWR, hugging a nonce.
Career highlights. These two might be willing to admit that sometimes you're wrong. I of course, I'm never wrong, mainly because I don't really commit opinion to Twitter anymore. I play the safe game. But if you do want to see my fluffy opinions, I'm at Rain Counter on Twitter, and I'm also part of the @5NerdsGo collective. Where did I get that word from?
Classic.
It's not a collective, just me and Matt talking shit once every month or so. But come check it out at 5NerdsGo. You can find my illustrious co-host here, the man, the king of podcast producing. All right, let's see if I can get them all right here now. We've got, firstly, he's at Dej Kirkby, D-E-J Kirkby on Twitter. That's the most important place to find him. Then he has at Five Rounds Pod, mm-hmm. on, and that is on the Visionaries Global Media Network.
And Chairshot.
And Chairshot, sorry.
And somewhere else, very soon.
Still has Why We Watch. That's also on Visionaries Global Media Network. And anywhere else?
No, just on Visionaries.
Okay. He has Talk at the Table.
On Visionaries.
He has Radio Techers.
Well, that's technically not mine. It's me and Tanner from Headlock Talk. Yeah, that's on Visionaries. And also, we'll be coming up very soon in a super secret project. Look out for that on the Radio Techers Twitter page, at Radio Techers.
There you go. And I feel like I'm missing one more. Am I missing one more?
This show.
This one
that we're on right now.
This one. And you can find this every week on the Chairshot Radio Network on every Thursday. And you can also get all your hard-hitting pro wrestling news, opinion, and much, much more over on thechairshot.com. Hope everyone has a nice, relaxing sleep, and we put you in a lovely, positive mood. Stay safe and always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.